thankful this morning for another opportunity to be in Springfield. I appreciate the blessings of the Lord, and I'm thankful for that song and for what it means. I desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would help us be able to bring out the thoughts that He's laid on our heart. The Lord would cause Him to be a blessing and a challenge to each one of us. I'd like to start this morning by asking as a question. Do you ever have the feeling that something is hopeless? Have you ever been up against something that you just felt like it's hopeless? As you look around and you see and hear the things that are happening in our world today, in our nation, in our government, in people's lives, do you ever find that feeling, it just seems hopeless? I won't be honest with you. There are times that I have felt those kind of feelings. As I work and deal with people, I find sometimes that the enemy can get people in such conditions. Children growing up in homes that it's amazing sometimes how the enemy can so twist and work in people's lives that they don't even think like normal people. And it's hard. It's very hard sometimes to know how to minister and to know how to help them to understand the simple principles of truth. And as I've considered these things from time to time, I'll be honest with you, I thought, Lord, it just seems hopeless. But I'd like for you to look with me, if you will, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. There's quite a bit of reading here. I'd like to read these first 11 verses. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and starting in the first verse, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as ye also do." He said here in this 8th verse, "But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." I'd like to talk to us this morning about the hope of salvation. Now, I wrote down here, Webster defines hope as a feeling of expectation or desire for a certain thing to happen, a person or thing that might help or save someone. Now, I would put a helmet in that classification, wouldn't you? People put a helmet on for the purpose of protecting them from harm and danger. Policemen, soldiers, football players, people wearing bicycles, or riding bicycles, motorcycles, any kind of ATV, they put a helmet on for the purpose of protecting themselves, don't they? They have a hope that if I have an accident or something happens, this helmet will help save my life. Do you know if it wasn't for that hope, they probably wouldn't put it on? It's not that a helmet is something that's stylish, that you put it on because, oh, look at me, I've got a helmet on. There's probably not any of us would take and walk down through town with a helmet on and say, oh, look, I'm in style. It doesn't do that, does it? It's hot, it's heavy, it's restrictive in your movements and what you can see. You just can't see your field of vision. And for that reason, many times, there are some people that won't put it on, even though they know that if I have a crash or I run into something, the chances of survival are pretty slim. And so they won't wear it at all. They want to be free. And I've heard people say, I want to let my hair blow in the wind when I ride that motorcycle. And I don't want anything. I want to experience it. Well, do you know, there are lots of stories that you'll hear of people that have had crashes or have been struck on the head and they died because they didn't wear a helmet. And most of the time when you hear those kind of stories or you read them, you'll also hear of how, you know, if they had a helmet on, they might have survived. There are other stories that you'll hear of people that have been in crashes and had maybe been struck on the head by something and they survived. And you'll also hear them say, if they hadn't had a helmet on, they wouldn't have made it. There's no way. When there's been people that have had motorcycle accidents and been bouncing down the road and their head just bouncing, but that helmet saved their life. Now, that helmet will not take and prevent someone from having a crash or from being struck. It won't do that. But the helmet is designed to take and protect an individual and to help save their life in the event that they experience these kind of things. Well, you know, there's times that things happen that we don't expect in life. And I was thinking about when the Lord was giving me these thoughts, I was thinking about a man I read about just recently. And I believe it was in New York City. They were building a high-rise building. And this man had taken and come to the construction site, and he'd pulled in there. Perhaps some of you read it. And he pulled in there to the construction site in the parking lot there, and he got out of his truck, and he walked over to talk to another man in his truck. And while he was standing there talking to him, somebody up on the tower, up on the building that they were building, dropped a tape measure. And that tape measure came down, and it struck him in the head and killed him. Now, the odds of that tape measure hitting this man, instead of all the other things, the cars, the vehicles, all the other things in that parking lot, were extremely low. In fact, if you were trying to calculate that, somebody would probably say you have just about as much of a risk, the odds are just about as good for you being struck by lightning as being able to be struck by that tape measure that fell. They said about this man, they said that he had a hard hat in his truck, but for whatever reason, he failed to put it on. And I think about this scripture here. It says here in 1 Thessalonians, it says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, the Apostle Paul was well aware that these people were aware of the times and the season that they were living in. But you know, it didn't stop him. He still felt it very necessary to warn them of the dangers that they were experiencing. Having worked around construction sites and buildings and things like that for several years, I'm well aware of the training and the safety procedures that are a part of the construction industry. And over the years, OSHA has taken and has mandated many different requirements on employers and contractors in their work. And they have required them to have specific, detailed descriptions and training for all the tasks that these men do. And then they follow up with that and they require them to go back. And after they've trained them to have periodic training and reviews of that training and refreshers, and they have all of these things, and they'll have what they call tailgate sessions, or some people call them job box sessions, and where they go in the mornings and they sit down and they go over, now this is what we're going to do today, and here's what's going to happen, and here's some of the things to look for, and here's some of the safety gear that you need to have. Hard hats and other PPE or personal protective equipment are drilled into these workers. It's a part of their life. They're constantly reminded. Get your hard hat on. Get your safety glasses on. Every time you walk on that site and you don't have a hard hat, immediately somebody will typically say, "Where's your hard hat? You got to go home if you don't have it. You can't work." It's something that they've got posters, they've got signs, they've got all of these things there to remind people of the dangers of the construction industry. But I look at this, and this man that I'm telling you about here that I just read about, the fact that he had this hard hat in his truck tells me that he was well aware of the dangers of the construction industry. But for whatever reason, he failed to put it on. Now, I don't know. Only he knows why he didn't do that. But perhaps it's because that he thought, well, I'm far enough away from the construction work that's going on that I'm okay. After all, he wasn't in there in the building where they're swinging beams and hanging things, and there's a lot of danger in there. He was out in the parking lot around all these other cars, and it's like, who's going to drop anything over here? I mean, they've got cars. They're going to watch that. And so perhaps he thought, because I'm this far away from the work, I'm okay. But dear ones, he was still on the construction site. And the requirements are, when you step onto that construction site, you're to put that hard hat on. Well, for whatever reason, he didn't do that. And here, the Apostle Paul said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." But he went ahead and he warned them anyway. And dear ones, the Lord is just like that. He is faithful to warn every one of us. Because even though, and I've heard people on those jobs, and they're like, why do we have to have another safety meeting? We have so many of these things. Why do we have to have those? Do you know, dear ones, the Lord has put line upon line, precept upon precept. He has taken through His Word and through His servants. No doubt every one of us here have heard message after message after message all through our lives of the warnings of sin and what it does. But dear ones, the Lord is still faithful to come by and warn us, isn't He? And I look at this, just as with this man, dear ones, you know there are many people that no doubt have felt that they were just fine. They were okay. Because they had distanced themselves a certain distance from sin. They hadn't taken and gone into deep sin like many others. They hadn't become a murderer. They hadn't taken someone's life. Now, they may have, by their words, killed someone's reputation, but they haven't actually taken someone's life. They haven't become a common thief or a criminal. They haven't taken and gone out and just constantly, they're stealing, robbing stores. They may have taken and cheated on their taxes, or they may have taken a little something here or there that didn't belong to them. But they have convinced themselves that I haven't gone deep into sin, so I'm okay. They're not a rapist. They haven't done the things that many people have done. Gone into hardcore sins, if you will. But dear ones, nevertheless, many of these same people have taken and they have dabbled around the edges of sin. And they have taken and they have stepped across the line onto the enemy's territory. And as a result, as being on the enemy's territory, unfortunately, many of them have been struck, if you will, by the tools of the enemy. And many of those have gone out into eternity, lost and unprepared to meet God. I look at this and I find that the scriptures have warned us over and over. But nevertheless, even though the Lord has warned us, there have been those that have taken and convinced themselves, I'm all right. I'm okay. This is all right. I'm here. I've just got onto the enemy's territory, but I haven't gone any farther. And unfortunately, many of them have been taken out into eternity. And they have died spiritually. Even those that haven't gone out have died spiritually before they hardly realize what had happened. I want to look at a scripture over here in James. In James, the first chapter, in the 14th verse, he says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now, I want to clarify something. I said that the person that has strayed onto the enemy's territory, many times some of them have been struck by the enemy's tools, and they died spiritually before they hardly realized what happened. But I want to make sure that we understand, and I know that we do this, sin, committed sin, is a process that does not happen unless without our knowledge or our willing participation. You don't just wake up one morning and, oh, I sinned. You don't just take and do something and, oh, I just sinned. It's something that I know and I'm aware of it and I willingly participate. And I want to make sure that's clear, because sometimes the enemy will confuse people's minds. But here he said, this is the process that the writer in James said. This is what happens. He said, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You know, the problem is that the enemy of man's soul is very deceptive. He is a master at convincing people that they're okay. Are you okay? Everything, you're all right. It's okay. It's no big deal. Nobody's going to know. God knows, but nobody else is going to understand. And even God, he's not going to mind. Have you ever had the enemy tell you in your life those things? It's okay. If he doesn't tell you it's okay, he'll tell you you're all right. Even though the things that you're doing and the attitudes that you have and all of these things, the enemy will come by and he'll convince us, you're okay. It's all right. People understand. That's just the way you are. And then if we get to the place but we say, no, I know this is not right. Do you know what the enemy does? He'll convince us, well, yes, that's not right, but you got plenty of time to take care of it. Just go ahead with what you're doing. You can take care of that later. But dear ones, the writer here said, for yourself, in 1 Thessalonians, he said, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night." You know, dear ones, if it were possible for you and I to take and be able to talk to the millions and millions of people that are in eternity today, I am convinced that we would hear over and over, story after story, from young all the way to the old, of those who thought that everything was okay. I'm doing fine. My life is going well. Everything is in order and everything's going well. And then suddenly something happened and they were called out into eternity, lost and unprepared to meet God. Do you know, dear ones, when those things happen, there's no time at that point to say, wait a minute, I'm going to back up. I'm going to rewind this. There was a couple weeks ago there at work, we have a young man, had a young man that was working there. He was about, I think, 23 years old. Very nice young man. He worked for the cleaning crew. He's one of our day porters. And he was well liked by most everybody there. Came from bad background. His dad was in jail. His mom had made many poor decisions. He was helping to support his sister. She had been staying with him. He was helping his mom. She had just had another baby, and he was doing all these things. He had went to school to one of the first of his family to go to college, and went till he ran out of money. And then he came back and he was working and he was taking night classes. And he was desiring to get a career so that he could take and go out and get away from that kind of lifestyle. Well, on this particular day, I saw him. It's been a week ago, Friday, I believe it was. I saw him there at work. He always had a smile, and he'd talk to people and all. And when I left work, as I pulled out of the garage, I noticed these cop cars just flying by. And I thought, my, what is going on? And as I drove home, I had the radio on, and a little while later down the road, I heard something on there, and they were talking about a shooting a few blocks from the work. And I thought, my, that's close. I hope it's nobody from there. And I didn't think anything more about it until the next day I got an email, and this young man had been shot. Before he got to the hospital, he died. And I thought about that. I don't know where this young man stood with the Lord. There were some things that happened in that incident. But as I've listened to people talk there at work since that, I've heard story after story of how that he had helped this one and he'd helped that one and people that were in trouble, and he'd talk to them and say, if you're having problems and you can't handle it, he said, you need to get to know the Lord. The Lord can help you. So from those things, it gives me a little hope. I don't know. But he's gone. And dear ones, there are multitudes of people that have gone out just that quickly that there's been no hope at all. And I wonder sometimes if we can fathom just how much it means to those folks that are lost in eternity today, if we can fathom the depths of the remorse and the intense regret that they must feel at this very moment. If I'd just known, if I'd only, I can't believe I fell for this. All of these kind of things. Have you ever had an intense feeling of regret? Maybe missed a bargain that you were looking for and you waited too long and it was gone. You think, oh, that's what I wanted. It was on sale and I thought it'd go down one more time. And I went there and it's gone. Now, I'd have paid twice that much for it in an auction, and something happened and you get distracted and you're like, oh, that's what I came for. And it went for half the price that I thought. And oh, you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had that? Have you ever said something to someone and then you, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. And you go home. I'm sure you've probably done this. I'll speak for myself. You go home and you think, oh, why did I say that? If I'd have known they would have taken it that way, I would have never said it. And you just beat yourself up and you just think, oh, and you go sometimes for a long time and you're thinking, oh, I wonder what they're thinking. Do you ever feel that way? Dear ones, can you imagine? Can you imagine the depths of the remorse? Can you imagine how those that are lost in eternity, the depths, the intense regret that they must feel at this moment? Have been there, some of them for years, hundreds of years, some of them for 30 minutes. But the intense feeling of regret, had I only, if I'd have known, I'd have went to church instead of going there. If I'd just done differently. And that intense feeling of regret that they must feel at this time, knowing that I will never have an opportunity to do it over. I won't tell you, dear ones, I can't fathom that. When you think of the vastness of eternity, when you think of how far time goes, and to think of feeling, I know that feeling of regret that I've had at times, and how it just consumes you sometimes. And I cannot imagine feeling that throughout eternity and wishing and saying, if I'd only, I can't imagine that. But you know, dear ones, it's not just those that have gone, that have died and gone, been lost in eternity that feel regrets. Do you know there are people in our world today that are living with regrets? Many of them. I was talking about this man on the construction site. But you know, dear ones, there are multitudes of people that have been in accidents on construction sites, in industrial accidents, that because they failed to wear the proper PPE, the personal protective equipment, they got severely burned. They had severe accidents, maybe lost limbs. They've had falls because they didn't wear their harnesses, those kind of things. When we have safety training, there are There are times that they'll show us videos, and they like to take and show videos that are just like that. And then they'll show afterwards, and you'll hear these people, and they'll tell you, I wish I'd have done. If I'd have taken 5 minutes, and I'd have put that gear on, if I'd have done this, and the regrets that they're living, their lives are miserable because of the accident, the things that have happened. There have been people that have been severely burned, and their lives have been miserable. It didn't take their life, but they are regretting, and they are reaping greatly because of their lack of following the procedures that was outlined to them. And dear ones, likewise, there are many people today that are living with regrets because of their exposure to sin. Heartaches, broken hearts, broken homes, broken lives are the wages of sin. And dear ones, because people have taken and dabbled with sin, it has cost them greatly. I look at some of the things. I look at this. There's back here in 1 Thessalonians, in the 5th chapter, he said, "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly, ye are not in darkness. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Dear ones, I'm not telling you anything this morning that you don't already know. I think every one of us here understands that the wages of sin is death. It brings heartache and trouble. And dear ones, I'm going to run out of time. But I don't believe that's why altogether that the Lord gave me this burden this morning. It's because somebody doesn't know. But instead, dear ones, I believe the Lord, just as the Apostle Paul said, "You have no need that I tell you." But he did. He felt a need. And dear ones, I believe the Lord, when he sends messages like this, it's not because we don't know. It's because he loves us, he cares for us, and he wants every one of us to make it safely home. One of the things that you will hear in those safety meetings over and over is they'll say, "Our goal is that each one of you might be able to make it home safely to your families when the day's done and the work is over." And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's God's goal as well. It's his goal that every one of us would be able to make it safely home. And the Lord takes and he sends these things. We're living in perilous times. We're living in times, dear ones, where we're being bombarded by things all around us. The enemy has got many tools that he has designed, that he has got out there, and he's not just dropping them on our heads. He's putting them in our homes and in our schools, in our supermarkets. He's putting them out there on the streets. He's putting them all around us. His tools are designed, dear ones, for one purpose, and that is to destroy us. And dear ones, there's not a one of us here this morning that can withstand the onslaught of sin without the hope of salvation. When you look at this, the writer said, and I want to look at a scripture over here, you bear with me, in Lamentations. In Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, the 21st verse, he said, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And down in this 26th verse, he said, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Do you know, dear ones, I am so thankful for the hope of salvation this morning. I'm so thankful, dear ones, that the Lord made it possible for you and I to have an avenue. That water that we heard about that never runs out. I'm thankful this morning, dear ones, that God made it possible for you and I. Because without the hope of salvation, there's none of us would be able to withstand the onslaught of the enemy. I'm thankful that God loved us enough that he not only sent his son, but he sent message after message after message to warn us. You know, when I look at these things, I want us to think of what it would be like without the hope of salvation this morning. Can you imagine? Do you realize that without the hope of salvation, it would have done no good for Adam and Eve or Cain or Abel to offer sacrifices? Because what good would it do? They would be destroyed anyway. There was no hope of salvation. There would have been no reason for Noah to take and to have in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation to have been a man that was faithful to God if there was no hope of salvation, because he would have been destroyed with everyone else. Abraham, Daniel, Joseph, the three Hebrews, all of those that had great faith in God and that were faithful to God. Do you realize, dear ones, it would have not done no good for them to have done any of those things and tried to be faithful were it not for the hope of salvation? Dear ones, there would be no reason for God to extend time 1 second longer for you and I today without the hope of salvation. But I'm thankful this morning that God made it possible, that He sent His Son because of the hope of salvation, dear ones, we can take. What does the songwriter said? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. There's a scripture in Hebrews I want to get, in Hebrews the 9th chapter. In Hebrews the 9th chapter in the 19th verse, he said, "Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil." Do you know, dear ones, the hope of salvation is truly an anchor of the soul. It will enable us to withstand the powerful tide of sin, that current of the world that is trying to draw you and I into that destruction that the enemy has planned for us. The hope of salvation, dear ones, will enable us to withstand that overpowering tsunami, if you will, that is just consuming people's lives in our world today. But dear ones, because of the hope of salvation, when the enemy comes in like a flood, whether it's in our times of trial, of sickness, whether it's in times of temptation, no matter what it is, when the enemy comes in like a flood and you and I have no power against him in ourselves, because of the hope of salvation, the Lord will lift up that banner against him. And dear ones, when the Lord lifts up that blood-stained banner against the powers of Satan, there is nothing. All the powers of hell cannot prevail against that blood-stained banner that has been risen. I'm thankful this morning, dear ones, for the hope of salvation. I'm grateful that God made it possible for you and I to have an avenue. That in our times of desperation, in our times that we don't know, when things happen, just like that I mentioned with this Rodney, the man there at work, when he was taken out into eternity, dear ones, there's things that we can't control. But I'm going to tell you, because of the hope of salvation, we do not have to worry about all those things. We can be ready. We can know that our God liveth, and He's there, and my life is in His hands. I'm thankful this morning for the hope of salvation. Do you know, can you imagine what it would be like without that? No real love, no real forgiveness, no mercy, no compassion, only carnality without the hope of salvation. Dear ones, I'm thankful this morning for the hope of salvation, because even though others may not love us, they may not forgive us, they may not have mercy and compassion upon us, but dear ones, because of the hope of salvation, we can obtain that in Christ. Other people may take and ride over our heads. They may step on our toes. They may do all kinds of evil against us. But dear ones, because of the hope of salvation, we can have peace in our soul regardless of what anyone else does. That's what it does for us this morning. It doesn't matter what happens and what others do. Our hope and our confidence, regardless of what they do and what they don't do, dear ones, because of the hope of salvation, I can have victory in my soul this morning. And you can as well. That's the blessings that the Lord has given to us. And dear ones, I hope this morning that the Lord will take. That clock just keeps going. There's so much that there is here. When you take and you go over, if we went over to where Christ was speaking there, and He said, "I am come to do what? To heal the brokenhearted." Do you know, dear ones, the reason that the broken hearts can be healed is because of the hope of salvation? Do you know sin has broken many hearts and lives in our world today? But dear ones, because of the hope of salvation, we can take and have our broken hearts healed. The Lord can take and come down. Do you know, I think about people's lives that are broken by sin. And dear ones, because He lives, we have a hope of salvation this morning. I think of those, He said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. You know, I think about what it means to have a comforter, to have someone to come in. The Apostle Paul said in another place, he said, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Have you ever thought about what it must be like for the heathen? Those that have no God, when they have emotional attachments just like we do, and to lose someone, especially unexpectedly, and they have no hope. They take them and they take their ashes and just throw them out on the ground and that's it. There's no afterlife. There's nothing. I can't imagine, dear ones. But because of the hope of salvation, we not only have a hope of seeing them, hope that they're in heaven in a better place, and a hope of seeing them, but dear ones, even if we have a loved one that is lost and it goes out into eternity, don't you know, dear ones, that we have a comforter that is able to come in and comfort our hearts? I can't imagine being in the place of those parents and their son was gunned down and there one's in jail and one's doing this and having no hope and no one to comfort. I can't comprehend that this morning, dear ones. But because He lives, because of the hope of salvation, dear ones, we have a comforter. We have a healer. We have a helper. We have one that will be our stay. When the enemy comes in like a flood, because of the hope of salvation, dear ones, we can live. We can face tomorrow. Oh, dear ones, I hope you get a hold of the burden that the Lord has laid on my heart. As I said, the Apostle Paul said, ye have no need that I write unto you of the times and the seasons. Dear ones, you don't have any need of me telling you what the condition in our world today is. You don't have a need for me to tell you of how awful sin is and the wages of sin. But I hope this morning that the Lord will take these thoughts and cause it to bring a renewed interest and a desire in our hearts for every one of us to make sure we have on that helmet of salvation. That we not only take the helmet of salvation, dear ones, but that we put on all the armor of God. The personal protective equipment that God has prepared for you and I. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it won't keep us from facing battles. It won't keep us from having hard places that we experience in life. It won't keep people from stepping on our toes. But I'm going to tell you this. If we have on the helmet of salvation, our chances of surviving through those things is extremely well. Without it, there's hardness, there's bitterness, there's all the things that happen. Dear ones, if we'll put on this helmet of salvation and keep it on, don't ever, young people, I want to challenge you this morning, don't ever allow the enemy to cause you to think, I'll take it off for just a minute. I'm at school, I'm in the mall, I'll take it off and my religion off here, and I'll do this. In that minute, the enemy has a trap laid for you. I want to encourage our hearts this morning to have a greater vision and understanding of what this helmet of salvation is. Too many people take and they look at it like they do that helmet. And they say it's a nuisance. It's hot. It's heavy. It's restrictive. I can't do what I want to do. It's something that I don't want to put on. Do you know that's the perspective that the enemy has convinced many people today? This is a hard way. It's difficult. But dear ones, I hope this morning that you can get a hold of this salvation is not something, if it restricts us, it's only to keep us from the danger. Everything that God requires of you and I, dear ones, is designed for our safety. It's designed to help us make it safely home. And dear ones, the Lord never takes and causes us to put something on that is not for our good. Do you know, I think about this PPE, this personal protective equipment that the Lord has given us. Do you know, if I have that helmet on, like I said, when I'm going to face some things, in another message the Lord gave me at home a while back, I told the folks, Jesus said, it's impossible but that offenses will come. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, every one of us are going to face offenses. We're going to face hard things. But if we put on this helmet of salvation, it will prepare us to know how to deal and to face those things. If we take and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel, do you know what it'll do? People are going to step on your toes, but it'll prepare you. Do you know when you get a hold of the Word of God and the Lord begins to put forgiveness and He begins to teach us things and we begin to see, do you know when people step on our toes, it ain't going to hurt near as bad as if we are out there in the world, if our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there are things that have happened in my life that were it not for the grace of God, I can't tell you where I'd be today. But because of the grace of God and what He has given to me from His Word and by His Spirit, it has enabled me to take and face those things and say, I can forgive you. You know, that's what salvation will do. If we'll put on the breastplate of righteousness and we'll take that shield of faith, like we heard about in Sunday school, the sword of the Spirit, dear ones, we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy that are what? Designed to destroy every one of us. Oh, dear ones, the burden of my heart this morning is that we recognize what a valuable thing that God has given to us. Salvation, the helmet of salvation, the hope of making heaven, dear ones, it's not a drudgery. It's not a nuisance. It may be that sometimes we feel like we've got heavy burdens, but I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when I've gone through some of those, I look back and I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. I don't know how I'd have made it without. Dear ones, because of this hope, because of this helmet of salvation, we can take and face whatever our world brings. Because God will be there with us. He has designed within this plan of salvation everything that we need to face everything that we will face. Do you realize that? I know you do. I want to encourage us this morning. Salvation is a wonderful thing. Dear ones, if we're here this morning, and I don't know. I know we know these things. But I know that the Lord sent this for a purpose. And I trust that the Lord will use it to encourage us. And if we're here and we're not sure, I want to challenge you this morning. Put on the helmet of salvation. Don't listen to the enemy when he convinces you it's no good, it's too hard. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the way of the Lord is right. It's a blessing, and I thank the Lord for it this morning. Appreciate your attention this morning.